5/5/17. That is May the 5th in the year of our Lord, 2017. Worldwide Law and Gospel on KFUO. I'm Pastor Tom Baker. I'm here by myself today. It's an open mic Friday. What does that mean? It means you can call in the St. Louis area. The number is 821-0850. Toll free anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. And in between calls, I've got quite a bit to say, not only about things going on in the world, but about law and gospel. First of all, things about going on in the world. There is a real concern in our official publication of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod called The Reporter, received yesterday, and the front page is all about how military chaplains are not able to speak God's word. What? What does that mean? Well, they are not able to speak out against homosexuality as a sin before Almighty God, and probably not against abortion, because for some reason, the armed forces leadership thinks that that is hate speech, perhaps? Well, we'll see what the executive direction of President Trump about religious freedom might have to do with military chaplaincies, but please keep them in your prayers. They're having a very difficult time, of course, in not being able to use all of God's word in speaking to soldiers who are in need of God's word. We're looking forward to the worship services this coming Sunday at Trinity Lutheran Orchard Farm. At the 8 o'clock service, we're going to be confirming a young man who is joining the Lutheran Church. And in the late service, we're going to be baptizing an infant who, of course, is also joining the church, receiving faith, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the forgiveness of sins as promised by Peter in his Pentecost sermon in Acts chapter 2. I'm also going to be doing what I consider to be one of my most important sermons that I have done at Trinity Orchard Farm. I'm a super plagiarist. In other words, I learn how to think and do seminars, etc., by listening to other people who have greater gifts than I in the area of the original languages of the Bible and so forth. And then I borrow them and I try and help the lay people understand just exactly what we're talking about. Yesterday in confirmation, for example, we were talking to the youth and I had them helping me do the sermon for this coming Sunday. We were having a lot of fun about it. And I'm also working on two papers that I'm trying to get put together. The one paper, the heading is like this. Why is it that when we read the scripture, it often appears to contradict Lutheran theology? What? Does that make any sense? Well, if you've been listening to the programs, if you hear my sermons, I often will start off with a question that appears to contradict Lutheran theology, and yet that's what the Bible is saying. I'll just give you one example right now. In Mark chapter 10, somebody asked Jesus, you know, how to be saved. And he says, oh, no problem. Just sell whatever you have, give to the poor, come and follow me. Is that Lutheran theology? That the way we get to heaven is give all our money to the poor? Jesus himself says that. And so what the lecturer is going to be doing is I've got a number of ways in which we resolve what appear to be contradictions in the Bible. They really are not contradictions, but at least we can resolve them. The other item that I'm working on and what Sunday sermon is going to be about is just what is confirmation. I'm not going to say this in the sermon, so I'll bring it up right now. But I've noticed that in surveys taken between parents and youth, when it comes to the issue of abortion, normally the Christian parents and the Christian youth are in sync. They're both opposed to abortion because it's the killing of a human being. But when it comes to homosexuality, the parents tend to have a more biblical view than do some of the young people, the teenagers. And I can understand why that is. And that's because, well, maybe some of their friends are homosexual. And they're trying to figure out, okay, what do I do with this? Now, I'll say a little bit more about that, but we're going to go to the phone lines right now, I think. Hi, I'm Tom Baker. You're on the air. Is somebody there right now? Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Who's this?
Jan.
Okay, Jan, what's your question?
Yesterday on Focus on the Family, they had a chaplain from the government. I don't know if it was like the Senate or what, but he spoke on Focus on the Family, and his name is Chaplain Black. It was outstanding.
What was his subject about?
His message, well, just talking about what's, you know, going on in the country today and how, you know, the government isn't acknowledging Jesus as the Lord and giving, you know, the rights to Christians to express their beliefs.
Was he saying they're having problems as chaplains in the armed forces and expressing their beliefs?
I believe so, yes.
Yes, there's a lot more that's going to come up about that. And that was on Focus on the Family, you're saying.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Well, I sure appreciate that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling.
I enjoy your program, Pastor Baker. Thank you so very much.
I appreciate your calling. And anybody else who may have more information on that, don't hesitate to give us that information, because this is going to be an ongoing struggle in the Christian church because of many people who think that the Christian message is hate speech, speaking out against gay marriage, homosexuality, abortion, and this sort of thing. But all we're doing is we're returning to the times of the early church when, of course, they were persecuted. They were burned to death. They were hung. They were crucified because they spoke the word of God. In fact, I just read how many thousands of Christians, I think it was 60,000, died last year because of their faith. That's real persecution that's going on in the church, and something we got to be very careful of and talking about in the churches. Okay, getting back to the point I was making, that a number of young people are disagreeing with their parents on the issue of homosexuality, probably because they have friends who are gay, they have a gay lifestyle. Although what we're seeing, that many of these people who are gay and get married, it doesn't last very long. There's a divorce that occurs. You may be aware of a somewhat famous, I guess, television personality who's... she is a woman. She married another woman, and her wife just cheated on her with a man. And so they're having a divorce. And it's no surprise. God does not bless gay marriages. And one of the worst curses that God could bring on a gay marriage is that it appears that it's working out okay. Yes, we pray that things happen in a gay marriage that people recognize this is really not according to God's will. See, in Sodom and Gomorrah, everything seemed to be working out okay. God intended to take away the negative consequences of sin, so what they once thought was wrong, they now thought was right, and vice versa. Well, we know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah after Lot and his family left the city. But here's the point I want to make in regard to teenagers, and I'm writing this down because another call is coming in and we're going to get to that, but teenagers disagreeing with parents on certain issues, and people are saying, oh, those teenagers are losing their faith. I want to talk about that, but first of all, let's go talk with Mike. Mike, you're on the air.
How are you doing today?
Really good.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I was, but you know, I heard this years ago, and I didn't used to believe it, but I'm really starting to believe it, that the woman who was the head of the National Organization of Women said that when women are completely liberated, they become lesbians. And I thought that was nonsense, but I'm beginning to believe it more and more.
Yes, I just read an article, and I don't know if this is true or not, but it came from a pretty good publication that there's a Christian soccer player, and she's made fun of by many of the other women on the soccer team because they're lesbian, and she speaks out against that. And what you're kind of saying now, if that is true, but I mean, I know a lot of women on soccer teams and young girls, and they don't have that point of view at all. So I don't know about the professionals or not, whether that's true. But if anybody has any information on that, let us know. It came from what I consider to be somewhat of a reputable source, and it was this Christian lady complaining about the persecution that she had received on this professional soccer team because she doesn't buy into the lesbian gay life.
I don't know, but the only thing is, you know, a lot of women are subtle and secretive, and they may be saying that, but underneath they may not be thinking that. When it becomes more of a norm, you'll see more and more of it, because I do see with these younger girls that they're obvious lesbian couples, but I can tell by looking at them, you know.
Well, I can't tell unless they're holding hands and kissing, but this idea about being subtle and secretive, guess what, Mike? I know a lot of guys like that, too.
Well, I don't know. Guys are pretty direct and simple, though.
Well, I'm not.
I mean, guys are upfront what they're about. Guys lay their cards on the table, you know.
Well, I'm a pastor, and so I get to know congregational members pretty good. And maybe it's because I'm working with congregational members, but guys try and hide their sin as well as do women.
Maybe their sins on some things, but guys will pretty much tell you what they're about, though.
Okay, well, we appreciate your opinion there, Mike, and we thank you for calling in early. Yes, sometimes some of you folks call in too late that I can't get to you, but I'm not going to sit here and argue with Mike about the psychology of a male or a female. I do believe there are real differences between male or females, but both of them can often be as conniving as anything. In fact, I was talking to the confirmands about this yesterday, confirmands at Trinity Lutheran Church. What I was saying in the parochial school to that class is that when I was their age and I would go out on a date, I would only go out with a girl who was a 9 or a 10. And I'm talking about in looks. And one of the confirmands looked at me. He said, "You mean you don't care how smart she was?" And I said, "No, you got to remember at that age, you look good to other guys depending on how good looking your girlfriend was." And so until you mature and realize you need other things too in life. And I was trying to make the point how the eye often causes us to sin. The Bible talks about that sin temptations come through the flesh, through the eye, and I was just kind of making that point. But it's something that I'm hoping they're going to be thinking about as we return to the lines, and this time talk with Tim. Tim, you're on the air.
Hi, Pastor Baker.
Hi.
I agree totally with what you're saying. You know, abortion's against the fifth commandment, homosexuality's against the sixth commandment, but I'm sometimes concerned that Christians are all law, and I think that, you know, post-abortive women need to hear that Jesus died for them and his blood washes them clean. Now, they really struggle, and homosexuals who try to come out of that lifestyle need to know that God is 100% behind them and loves them. So that's my comment.
Well, I can't agree with you more, Tim. The point is the distinction between law and gospel not only is understanding what is law, what is gospel, but when you use it. And a lot of times, look what's happened with this executive order by President Trump that now churches can preach against homosexuality. There are many gay people who are just livid about that. And they often will throw things through the windows of churches. I'm talking about that level of gayness where they need to hear the law of God. But this is a congregation. I was once asked, would you ever let a gay person join your congregation? And I could look at the person and say, well, we let you join. The point of the point is that I don't care if someone has gay tendencies. What I'm looking for is a desire on their part to repent of it, to fight their way through it. And even when they're not successful, remember what Jesus says. How many times do we forgive someone? Seven times, which was the maximum according to Peter. And Jesus says, no, 70 times seven. And right. So your point is a really good one, and it's a great balance to this program on Law and Gospel. Thank you for calling, Tim.
Thank you.
And we're just going to move down the line and talk to Herman. Hi, Herman. You're on the air.
Thank you, Pastor Baker. Pastor Baker, about a month or so ago, there was a news item circulating about a professional woman basketball player on the small women's basketball league team who was saying the same thing, that she was persecuted because she was not advocating lesbian relationships.
Yes.
And she said on the whole basketball league, about 98% of the players, women players, were lesbian.
Yes. I believe I heard that also, but how do you, you know, 97% or whatever they're saying, does she do a survey about that, et cetera? There could be a large number, but your point is well taken, that here was a Christian woman who definitely was being persecuted because of her biblical stance, and whether the percentage is correct or not, you make a good point that this is something. Well, remember what Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. Not persecuted because you've done a crime and you're in jail, but persecuted because you're standing up for Jesus, which will result in your being attacked verbally and at times, as we're hearing overseas, even physically.
Yes, I'm in a rural southern Illinois county. And about several weeks ago, the local paper, in announcing the grants in the local court of marriage dissolutions, also had the first that I'm aware of same-sex marriage dissolution take place between two women.
Yes, you're going to see a lot of that. In fact, the very first bishop in the Episcopalian Church that married a man, he now has had a divorce also. And
Yes. It would seem that what the attempt has been made in this apparatus to do is to, in what they call marriage equality, has been reduced really to more or less an attempt at contract equality, and to take it totally outside of the Bible and say it's just a compact between two people while it one of them or the other is able to leave it.
This is why I really believe that the most important thing that the President of the United States ever does, because this is long, long going, is the appointment of Supreme Court justices. And these people who say, well, you know, the Supreme Court only makes some important decisions, you know, once every 3 years or something like that. I heard a lawyer say that. Well, if the decision is to be able to kill babies in the womb or have gay marriage, that has long-ranging effects. And I believe that a lot of the division in this country is due to the Roe v. Wade decision that we can now kill babies in the womb. This just, as long as this continues to stand, you will never have unity in the political arena, because there's no way that Christians will ever compromise their beliefs in that area.
Thank you for being on top of things, Pastor Baker.
And thank you. And the only reason I'm on top of things is because my listeners are on top of things. I mean, Tim's call was really important. I know sometimes we sound somewhat legalistic because we're speaking out against immorality. But I want to say that we always have to have that balance that he was mentioning, that there is no No one is a lesser sinner than a homosexual. Yeah, you may just gossip. You may just speak out against somebody you don't like behind. That is as big a sin from God's point of view. Not because in the temporal realm you get the same punishment. No, but in the spiritual realm, you are to be under the same curse. Just read the Sermon on the Mount. The very first point he makes, you know, you've heard it said that those who kill are in danger of the judgment. But I tell you that those who speak a bad word against someone or have a bad thought about someone, they're also in danger of the judgment. All three, thought, word, or deed, they all end up with the same punishment, eternal hell. And so no Christian can point to another sinner and say, you don't deserve to be going to heaven. Nobody deserves to be going to heaven. And it is only by God's grace that we're able to go to heaven. One of the things I wanted to say about teenagers who disagree with their parents, say on homosexuality, and people say, boy, they've lost their faith. I don't agree with that. I don't believe that morality is really what is faith. What? You're saying that when the Bible says something, you don't believe it, that that isn't a loss of faith? Well, there's two kinds of losses of faith. There's a loss of faith in what the Bible says. I had a lot of professors when I went through the seminary, this was before the big walkout they had, who did not believe the history of the Bible. They were evolutionists. They taught us that Jesus never walked on water. They taught us, took the supernatural out of all the miracles. Do I think those people are going to hell? No, I don't. Because if you ask them, do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? Is he is your Savior? They would say yes. So we remove them from being seminary teachers because they were teaching false doctrine. But the teaching of false doctrine in and of itself doesn't mean you're going to hell. God makes a distinction between those teachings you no longer believe that will affect your salvation. When I say somebody has lost their faith, I don't mean that they've lost their understanding that everything in the Bible is correct. I mean that they no longer believe in Jesus as their Savior. And so we need to be careful when teenagers have a different morality than their parents and say, okay, you know, that's the kind of person that no longer can be considered Christian. No, I think that's going beyond what the word faith means. Faith, saving faith, is not believing the historical events of Scripture or disbelieving them. It's believing the promises connected to those historical events. And I'm going to say a lot more about this next Wednesday, because the sermon on Sunday at Trinity Orchard Farm is going to talk about this very issue. And I've been working on it for a while. Again, I'm a super plagiarist, so a lot of my thoughts I'm getting, one of them is from another KFUO program that I thought was excellent. And we're going to be talking about that program, as well as certain ideas in theology that really help us to understand what really is confirmation, what really is preaching a sermon. That's what we'll be talking about for sure on Wednesday and in the sermon at Trinity Lutheran Orchard Farm this coming Sunday, with a confirmation in the 8 o'clock, a baptism in the 10:30 service, and a Bible study in between. I'm Tom Baker. I want to thank you for listening. You can email me at lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. Until Monday, when we find another passage that appears to contradict Lutheran theology, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.